Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 45 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
Roe v. Wade has not been overturned. It is very much the case that for many people in Kentucky, access to abortion is just too difficult.
Opponents of the law say Kentucky's Informed Consent Act is blocking access to abortion. Lawmakers have pre-filed new bills ahead of the 2020 legislative session in Frankfort. Pardons granted by the outgoing and newly sworn-in governor are being questioned in the Commonwealth. Kentucky's most powerful senator will run for re-election. Foster parent organizations are seeking new families. In sports, the Rowan County Senior High School boys basketball team hits the road tonight. Bud Luke has the stock report. Rain and patchy fog tonight with a low around 38. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Advocates for reproductive rights say women in the state face yet another obstacle in receiving an abortion after the Supreme Court's refusal this week to hear a legal challenge to the law. The 2017 Kentucky Ultrasound Informed Consent Act mandates that doctors perform an ultrasound on women seeking an abortion and describe its images in detail. If there is a fetal heartbeat, the law requires physicians to make that heartbeat audible to the patient. The ACLU challenged the law in the high court, and staff attorney Heather Gatnerek says judges typically do not provide a reason for refusing to hear the case. She says the court's decision signals the end of the legal fight to overturn the law.
The difference, of course, is that where this used to be an option for patients, it is now forced on every patient. And there are plenty of situations where patients may not want to hear this information.
The law does not allow for any exceptions to providing ultrasound information, even in cases of rape or incest. Doctors that do not comply with the law could be reported to the state medical board and be fined upwards of $250,000. Concern over the growing use of electronic cigarettes and tobacco products among young people in the Commonwealth has spurred lawmakers to pre-file bills for the 2020 legislative session aimed at making it more difficult for teens to get them. More from Nadia Romlagon.
The bill would raise the legal age for buying all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, from 18 to 21, and would ban the sale of flavors in e-cigarettes. Christy Young of the American Cancer Society's Action Network says public outcry has put pressure on legislators.
I would say that folks can reach out to their lawmakers because lawmakers can help make a significant impact in terms of addressing the tobacco epidemic that we have on our hands in Kentucky.
Some 43% of young adults in Kentucky tried e-cigarettes last year, according to the Kentucky Health Issues Poll. And the CDC says one in four Kentucky high school students uses some form of tobacco. The bill requests were filed this week by State Senator Ralph Alvarado of Winchester and Representative Buddy Wheatley of Covington, both Republicans. Lori Malone heads communication for the American Cancer Society in Kentucky. She says now is the time to urge lawmakers to fund tobacco prevention and cessation programs, adding that it's never too late to quit smoking or vaping.
You don't have to quit smoking in one day, but we do know that when you quit smoking, your body immediately begins to recover. Within 20 minutes, your heart rate and blood pressure will drop.
Kentucky spends nearly $2 billion each year on healthcare costs related to smoking, according to the Coalition for Smoke-Free Tomorrow. For Kentucky News Connection, I'm Nadia Romlagon.
Kentucky's Education Commissioner has resigned. Education Commissioner Dr. Wayne Lewis submitted a conditional resignation following a reorganization of the state board. The Board of Education Chairman David Kareem says Lewis will receive pay for the next few months.
Lewis shall be entitled to compensation equivalent to 120 days salary at his current rate of pay and compensation for health insurance benefits for 120 calendar days.
Kevin Brown will serve as the Interim Education Commissioner for the time being. A Knox County woman is frustrated after learning the man convicted of killing her brother has been pardoned by former Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin. Donald Mills was killed by Patrick Baker in 2014 when Baker and three other men broke into his home. Mill's sister, Melinda, tells LEX 18 learning about this has affected her.
That's a big shock. It's anger. I'm not going to lie about it. It's very upsetting. It is anger. Everybody has very hard feelings at Matt Bevin.
Baker was sentenced to 19 years in prison for the shooting. Campaign finance records show Baker's family helped raise over $20,000 for Bevin in 2018. Bevin's former campaign manager has not responded for comment. Two Louisville activists have received pardons in honor of their work in the community. Two community leaders in Louisville say they are thankful to the governor and hope future governors will continue to have pardoning powers. Christopher 2X and Amanda Hall both work on criminal justice and addiction issues. According to Wave 3, 2X is frequently a liaison in Louisville between traditionally African-American communities and local law enforcement. 2X has a 30-year-old conviction for drug possession and a theft conviction. The ACLU's Amanda Hall works with 2X on criminal justice and addiction issues. Hall developed a drug problem as a teen in Martin County and had a conviction for drug trafficking. Hall told the Louisville TV station that the pardon had affected her ability to go on field trips with her children. The constitutionality of a newly signed executive order is now in question. Here's KNN's Haley Hansen.
Governor Andy Beshear signed an order that would restore the voting rights of over 140,000 felons in Kentucky. Ren Young is one of those felons.
21 years later, I'm still being judged by the mistakes as a child. But a day that I thought I'd never see, early Christmas gift, Governor Beshear gave me back my equality as an American.
However, shortly after the order was signed, Kentucky's House Speaker released a statement saying he's looking into it. He argues that only Kentucky voters, not the governor, can change the state's constitution. I'm Haley Hansen.
Mitch McConnell, Kentucky's powerful senior U.S. senator, has announced that he will file for re-election this afternoon. The Senate Majority Leader officially filed as a candidate at 2:30 p.m. in the Secretary of State's office in Frankfort. Kentucky's newly elected Attorney General Daniel Cameron and State Treasurer Allison Ball will serve as co-signers for the declaration. Cameron once served on McConnell's staff in Washington, D.C. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
With nearly 4,000 foster homes in West Virginia and close to 7,000 children in foster care, more foster families are needed in the state. A new survey is looking for input from foster parents to give lawmakers a better understanding of how best to support and recruit the caregivers. Julia Hamilton and her partner, Zach Cruz, are foster parenting a 17-year-old girl and a toddler. Hamilton says taking care of the toddler requires more resources because he was born premature and had to be weaned off of morphine.
I think that in general there needs to be better support. You know, it depends, of course, on the foster agency you're with, whether or not you're going strictly through DHHR, but the kind of training you receive as a foster parent can sometimes be a little limited for the behaviors that you're running into.
The survey will give lawmakers a better understanding of how to help important caregivers and change child welfare policy to make the system better. Polling released last month shows most Ohioans agree their children should be required to receive the necessary immunizations in order to enroll in public schools. The data released by Interact for Health shows 8 in 10 adults support vaccine requirements. Similar results came out of a 2016 Pew Research Center poll. Director of Immunize Ohio, Cindy Modi, says vaccines are important not only because they prevent a child from contracting a disease, but also provide what's known as herd immunity.
It's protecting those students that cannot be vaccinated. Everyone truly believes in medical exemptions for children that truly cannot get vaccinated. Perhaps they're immunocompromised. They may have just undergone chemotherapy or an organ transplant.
Modi says the law does allow for certain exemptions to be made for children for philosophical, religious, or medical reasons. The city of Louisville has reported its first death of the flu season. Louisville health officials say the victim, who died December 7th, was an elderly person who had not been vaccinated and had underlying medical conditions. Kentucky health officials say the current flu season runs from September through May of 2020. Louisville has seen a sharp rise in flu cases in the past 2 weeks. According to the Kentucky Department for Public Health's influenza report, there have been over 1,100 flu cases this season in the state through November 30th. A total of 4 deaths have been reported thus far. Schools in Berea were briefly on lockdown today as police investigated a man who reportedly made threats against the schools in Kentucky. A release from Berea Police Department says that officers were called to O'Reilly Auto Parts around 9:15 a.m. By the time they arrived, they say 36-year-old James Allen was in front of a Domino's. Police tell WKYT Allen had made threats against the school in another county, but the threats were not believed to be credible due to Allen's mental illness. None of his threats were toward any local or county school officials, according to officers. Berea schools were put on lockdown, but only for about 10 minutes, according to a letter sent from the superintendent of Berea Community Schools. Police say Allen was never on Berea school property. Allen was taken to the Madison County Detention Center, where he has been charged with terroristic threatening. A man was shot in the head in Harlan County on Friday morning. Detectives from Kentucky State Police Post 10 in Harlan believe the shooting happened around 4 a.m. Following the shooting, the man was taken to UK Medical Center for treatment. WYMT says there's no word on his condition at this time. Detectives are interviewing people to learn more about how the shooting occurred. Police say it was an isolated incident and the public is in no danger. At this time, no arrests have been made. Deputies in Virginia are looking for 4 abducted children after their mother took them on vacation and never returned. WWBT reports the investigation started in June 2019 when 34-year-old Melody Bannister of Stafford told them her 4 children were being abused by their father. Bannister and the children were last seen August 20th in Moulton, Alabama. The children are 13, 12, 11, and 7 years old, and investigators believe they are in danger. All of the children were spotted in Lexington. They've also been seen in Tennessee, North Carolina, Texas, and Wisconsin, among other places. Bannister is wanted for 1 felony charge of violation of a court order, 4 misdemeanor charges of abduction, and 1 misdemeanor charge of filing a false police report. A woman in Laurel County was arrested after deputies were called to conduct a welfare check at her home. 38-year-old Candace Seiler of Corbin was arrested after deputies found a 7-year-old child living in squalor. WYMT reports the house was littered with trash and bugs. Social workers removed the child from the home, and Seiler was charged with criminal abuse in the 3rd degree of a child 12 years or under. Seiler is being housed in the Laurel County Correctional Center. A Covington man has been arrested, accused of stealing a package from the front porch of a home. Police arrested 37-year-old Adam Scholl on Thursday on outstanding warrants. Investigators also identified him as the man seen from a doorbell camera stealing a package. Officers are reminding the public to keep an eye on parcels being delivered to their homes. Police recommend having a neighbor pick up a package when it's delivered or to have packages delivered to work. Police also recommend, if possible, installing a camera on a porch. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow. Rain likely, mainly in the morning hours. Patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise cloudy skies with a steady temperature around 41. Saturday night, a 40% chance of rain, mainly before 10 p.m., cloudy with a low around 32. Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 38. Sunday night, a chance of rain and snow before 1 a.m., then snow likely with cloudy skies and a low around 32. On Monday, rain and snow likely in the morning, then rain throughout the afternoon with a high near 50 degrees. On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff tries to get his mind right before going holiday shopping.
Back in the late 1950s, Professor Eliade released a book called The Sacred and the Profane. The book lives up to its cover by exploring the age-old distinctions humans have always loved to make between what is holy and what is corrupt. We have this tendency to carve off pieces of places and call them special. This building, this field, this wall, this temple, and on, all of this done by people agreeing on nothing more than boundaries. This is sacred, that is profane. It's really quite horrifying and silly all at once in a world that's round. But we're getting ahead a bit. Jump cut to the recently clarified European Union requirement that food made in certain territories, claimed both by Israel and its protagonists, be so labeled as coming from the West Bank, with a note about the nationality claimed by those who produced it. The reason some people believe such a label should be mandated is so informed consumers can decide whether they wish to support what is thought to be profane behavior taking place in that disputed territory. Informed consent is a good thing, so maybe the labels are good. This is just a jumping-off place for us today anyway, as we explore the broader idea of regulating our own behavior, as in buying, based on the origins of the things we acquire. If one supports the boycott principle and believes that profane behavior deserves retributive action, then knowing the origins of things is essential. But why stop with the West Bank? Maybe we ought to take a look at the origins of some of the things we purchase to make sure we are buying in as sacred a manner as possible. A certain nation on the other side of the world has been making headlines lately for moving people with wrong thoughts into camps intended to improve their minds and, of course, to rarefy society. Americans and the rest of the world buy monstrous amounts of products of all kinds from the aforementioned nation. Catfish, caviar, printer ink, car parts, recycled clothing, inundated pet food, fine electronics, a list that's nearly endless. If we are to cheer those brave Europeans for standing firm against occupation of territory in the Middle East, ought we here also examine our own tacit approval of the forced encampment of peoples elsewhere? Why, to ask it another way, should we bewail the violation of the sacred and the establishment of the profane, while actively supporting those very things with our buying and borrowing? I always liked a good boycott. While not always agreeing with the crazy restrictions people place on themselves, the idea of boycotting the profane in regard for the sacred is pure positive intention. Like all ideals, though, it's hard to practice consistently. If one continues to buy from our colleagues in Asia, while hurling invectives at the occupiers of the West Bank, there develops a lapidary consistency problem. You are not free of this predicament if you use anything that contains a lithium battery, for example, which is nearly every device you own. Lithium mining is an environmental disaster. The control of lands offering this resource and other metals essential to our devices is colonization under another name. The products themselves are dangerous and provide waste that is poisonous. Why are we not all boycotting the companies, nations, and global organizations that manage this corruption? I know why. So say we little Bartlebys. 'Tis inconvenient, and we prefer not to. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 45 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this chilly Friday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
The Round County boys basketball team hits the road tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. The Vikings are coming off a 73-59 win over Lewis County last night at home to take the EKC championship. Tonight, they'll face off with Boyd County for the Boyd County Roundball Classic. Round head coach Sean Thacker says with 3 games in 4 days, they'll get the scout report on the way to the game.
There's a lot of familiarity with the programs. We play at all levels, so we're very familiar with them and their personnel, very familiar with their philosophies, just like they are us. You know, we played in the semifinals of the regional tournament, you know, probably 3 of the past 5 years, overtime, double overtime. There won't be a whole lot of secrets. I'm sure he'll make some adjustments to some of the things he's doing. to fit the personnel that he has. That's what a good coach does.
Tip-off tonight in Boyd County is set for 7:30 p.m. Taking a look at other 16th region boys action tonight, Fleming County travels to Fairview and Greenup hosts Lewis. Both of those games begin at 7:30. Bass travels to Menifee for a 7:45 matchup. On Saturday, East Carter travels to Boyd to face George Washington out of Charleston, West Virginia at 2:30 p.m., and West Carter travels to Morgan County at 7:30. Elliott County will travel to Bourbon County for the Kentucky Bank Shootout. They'll face Nicholas County at 2 p.m. Taking a look at regional girls action this weekend, Bath County will face off with Menifee at 6 p.m. Boyd County hosts St. Joseph Central out of Huntington, West Virginia tonight at 9 p.m. On Saturday, Elliott County hosts Montgomery County at 12:30. West Carter will face Spring Valley out of Huntington, West Virginia at the Boyd County Round Ball Classic. Game time is set for 11 a.m. Ashland Blazer meets Fleming County, also at Boyd, at 12:45 p.m. West Carter will face Boyd at the same Invitational at 6 p.m., and Raceland travels to Russell at 4:30 p.m. The Round County girls basketball team heads to the Peggy Moore Classic at Breathitt County this weekend. The Vikings will face Christian Academy of Louisville on Saturday. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team will have to refocus after losing the EKC title to East Carter in overtime last night at home.
It's going to be a real quick turnaround. I know the girls were really upset last night about how they played, so we'll see if they can come in ready to go today, kind of go through a game plan of what we want to do for tomorrow, and then get on the bus and head to Breathitt County.
Game time on Saturday is set for 4:30 p.m. With finals week finished, the Morehead State University women's basketball team is resuming play this weekend. The Eagles will have a tough test as they return to the court facing a 16th-ranked Michigan State team Sunday. And while the team was focused largely on academics this week, head coach Greg Todd says they managed to get quite a bit of practice in as well.
Had a good week, really focused more on our team, trying to get more ready even for conference play as that comes closer to us. But we have been working out about 2 hours a day, and I think the girls have had a good week in the classroom, and hopefully it'll show up. We got some very, very tough matchups coming up.
Tip-off at Michigan State is set for 1 o'clock on Sunday. The University of Kentucky basketball team will resume play at home as they host Georgia Tech. The 8th-ranked Wildcats enter the game at 7-1 on the season. Head coach John Calipari spoke with UK Athletics earlier this week. He says it's early in the season and there are still some kinks to work out.
The other thing I've been working on is baseball players here. When you led off of first base, you knew how far you could go, and if the pitcher threw it to first, if I'm standing here, I'm getting back. Well, I'm telling our guys, you need to know how far behind that line you need to be so when you catch it, you're not going to step on the line.
Tip-off tomorrow evening is set for 5 o'clock. University of Kentucky football's Lynn Bowden Jr. has only one game left as a Wildcat. Bowden announced earlier this week his intent to file for the NFL draft, meaning his last game with UK will be the Belk Bowl matchup with Virginia Tech. He released the announcement on his Twitter account.
This is a moment I've dreamed of for a long time, but there's no way I could have gotten here without a lot of people. To my mom and my family, thank you for raising me. To my son, thank you for inspiring me. To Coach Stoops and Coach Merrill, you believed in me. You believed in the person I could become. Coach Grant, Coach Henshaw, and Coach Smith, and all of my coaches, you challenged me, made me better, and put me in a position to succeed.
UK's New Year's Eve showdown is set for noon and will be broadcast on ESPN. And finally in sports this afternoon, 10 former NFL players have been charged with defrauding the league's healthcare benefit program, WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
The players include five who played on the Washington Redskins, including Clinton Portis and Carlos Rogers. Prosecutors allege the players targeted the Gene Upshaw NFL Player Health Reimbursement Account Plan, which was established as part of a collective bargaining agreement in 2006. It provides tax-free reimbursement out-of-pocket medical care expenses that were not covered by insurance and that were incurred by former players their spouses, and dependents. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Marshall at 7 p.m. on Monday, and women's basketball welcomes Asbury College on Thursday, December 19th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks were a little changed as China and the U.S. agreed to a Phase 1 trade deal. Investors did conclude a very solid week of gains, and the Dow Industrials finished with a small gain of 3.33 at 28,135.38. The S&P 500 inched up 0.23 at 3168.8. The NASDAQ did have a good move today, up 17.56 on the strength of large tech stocks, finishing at 8734.88. And the trade deal announced today includes a rollback of some of the China tariffs and halts additional levies that were set to take effect on Sunday. China agreed to significant purchases of U.S. agricultural products, but the amount is below what the White House was reportedly pushing to get. On the U.S. side, investors were hoping for more than just a partial rollback of some tariffs. Wall Street posted solid weekly gains in anticipation of this deal. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ were up 0.7% and 0.9% respectively, while the Dow itself gained 0.4%. China officials said China and the U.S. reached an agreement on the text of the Phase 1 trade deal, and the next step for both sides to go through legal steps and set a time for signing the deal. Chinese officials also said tariffs would be rolled back in phases. Also helping out the markets today was Brexit news, as stocks definitely made a very strong move after exit polls showed the UK's Conservative Party winning a big majority in Parliament, giving Prime Minister Boris Johnson a clear path to move forward with his Brexit plans. In the commodities markets, oil was strong with a gain of 1%, finishing at $59.79 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,480.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a real good day with the Stock 600 index up just over 1%. Asia was very strong as well, with the Nikkei and the Hang Seng both up just over 2.5%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank down 52 cents at $30.97, Dollar General down 97 cents at $154.61, UPS up $1.70 at $118.65, Marathon Petroleum down 41 cents at $58.59, and Yum Brands was up 26 cents to finish at $100.09. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250. Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Taking another quick look at your region's weather forecast for tomorrow. Rain likely throughout the day, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise cloudy skies with a temperature around 41 degrees. Saturday night, a 40% chance of rain, mainly before 10 p.m., cloudy with a low around 32. On Sunday, mostly cloudy, a high near 38. Sunday night, a chance of rain and snow before 1 a.m., then snow likely. Cloudy skies with a low around 32 degrees. And for your Monday, rain and snow likely before 9 a.m., then rain throughout the day with a high near 50. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Nacogdoches Miller, Zoe Hall, Keneally Roberts, Ty Martin, and Chaz Jenkins. KNN's Haley Hansen, WUKY's Josh James, Kentucky News Connection's Nadia Ramagan, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Moorhead State University's own Dr. John Modath. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.